Hello, friends. My name is Taylor, and I'm the host and GM of The Leviathan Files. If you're listening to this, it means either you're a new listener, in which case, hello and welcome, or you're doubling back around to check this episode out, in which case, hey, glad you're back. So if you're a new listener, you may be wondering, why does this show seemingly start at Season 1, Episode 9? Well, here's the thing. This is the first time for all of us making a podcast, and the early episodes are a little, well, let's be nice and call them shaky. I found that the quality of the first episodes turned more than a few people off the show, and that's not good. Once people got into the meat of the things and stuck around until we all learned what we're doing, people really liked the show. I'm not going to ask you to sit through 8 episodes until we get our heads out of our asses and start getting good. Instead, I'm just going to cut right up to the good stuff. One of the first things you learn in any writing class is to start your story, well, to start it where it begins. Cut out everything you can until the inciting incident. So that's what we're doing. But what if I want to hear the first episodes, you might ask, or what if there's something in there we'll need to know in order to understand the plot? Both are good questions, but you shouldn't worry. For your first concern, just head on over to theleviathanfiles.wordpress.com. There you'll find every single episode we've put out, even the old ones that are being taken off. All I'm doing is taking them off the podcast feed. For the second concern, the one about continuity, well, you're already listening to my solution. I'm going to take you on a quick crash course in everything you'll need to know about The Leviathan Files. We'll even use some clips from the old episodes. So, sit right back and enjoy. It all begins...
In the year 2186, Commander Sayla Shepard activated the Crucible over planet Earth, destroying the Reaper threat to galactic life. 5 years of reconstruction later, and a new threat looms on the horizon. Documents detailing the origin of the Reapers and citing technological gains discovered by Cerberus fanatics have gone missing, just as a rise in political pressure from a joint alliance of Batarian, Forcha, and Yag threatens to disrupt Council programs to reconnect the mass relays which greatly facilitate galactic travel. To those with sufficient clearance to access them, these documents are known simply as... The Leviathan Files.
So, I'm Taylor. I'm the GM for The Leviathan Files. We've got Dan.
My character is Alana Bell Liren. She is an Asari Huntress from Thessia.
Dylan, who are you playing?
I am playing Cal Corus, a 24-year-old Quarian infiltrator. Dr. Richard Quarian.
Dr. Richard
MD,
Quarian, DDS.
DDS.
And introducing the third member of our podcast, Aubrey.
Talk about me or my character, because A,
sure.
I've never played Mass Effect.
Edit that out.
No,
no,
I'm keeping that in.
No, I have never played Mass Effect. So my character is Jax Latari, and she's an Asari pure biotic.
So those were the characters. Dan, Dylan, and Aubrey playing Alanabel, Kalkoris, and Jax. Kalkoris spent time working up his cover as a dentist for humans, using the pseudonym Dr. Richard Quarian Vos Quarian. He found himself undercover aboard a luxury liner called the Groban II, with dignitaries and other VIPs, including a man from the Blue Suns gang that he had been tailing, named Clark Gregg, no relation. Jax and Alanabel found themselves aboard the same liner, working security. As Kalkoris and Clark Gregg, no relation, tuck into some space shrimp, Jax approaches and they talk about dentistry.
So you seem to have a strange interest in dentistry that goes past just guard duties.
Really just a strange interest in everything, I suppose you could say.
Our heroes notice 3 scientists walking into the buffet hall who have, until this point, been very secretive. They sit down alone and whisper to themselves as they eat. Jax and Kalkoris approach.
So moving on, this table is quiet,
yeah.
Because I sat down.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, hello, I haven't seen much of you around. I just wanted to come by and introduce myself.
We've been busy.
Well, yeah, but I see that you're here, so I thought I would stop by and help you relax a little, because, you know, taxing work deserves a break. Can I get you anything from the buffet?
We have our drinks.
Yeah, I have 2 lights.
No space shrimp? Everybody seems to like the space shrimp.
Nothing wrong with space shrimp, just...
Don't eat it?
Yeah, space shrimp
may not provide the most digestively enhancing...
Absolutely, no.
So it might actually be alcoholic and, in fact, bad for your teeth. as I suggested to the poor human emissary over there.
Just human teeth.
Alanabel chastises Jax for getting friendly with the people she's meant to be guarding, and the heroes leave the quiet scientists alone. Kelkoris asks Clark Gregg, no relation, if he knows who they are, and Clark tells him...
As far as I can tell, they're from some high-up program. I don't know if it's CSEC or Council-authorized, or even if it's part of the Alliance.
Jax had been monitoring our good undercover doctor for this time, and she brings something up to Alanabel.
Dr. Richard, DDS, is suspicious. We have to investigate.
One, we have been keeping tabs on the dentist for 2 weeks now. Secondly, we were going to investigate his quarters later tonight.
I volunteer.
Later that evening, Alanabel surveys the doctor's room, which appears conspicuously inconspicuous. She hides monitoring equipment and starts recording devices. In the buffet hall, Kalkoris ends his conversation with Jax and carries an unconscious Clark Gregg, no relation, back to his room, where Cal and Jax find a datapad. Jax tries to hack into it, but it begins to overload. Kalkoris manages to shut it down before its anti-hacking measures make it explode.
I didn't find anything, I just unlocked it to keep it from melting down.
You didn't find anything.
No?
You mean you unlocked it and didn't search it for anything?
No, I'm just his friend. I know his passwords, but...
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jax takes the datapad, unlocks it, and reads that there are many files marked Blue Suns. She accuses Kelkoris of being in the Blue Suns, and he reveals his true identity.
Fine, you caught me. I'm not Dr. Richard Quarian von Quarian.
Yeah.
Or Voss Quarian. I'm a CSEC operative tasked with shadowing Clark Gregg. A Blue Sun captain.
No relation.
No relation.
The two compare notes, but then the ship goes into emergency lockdown.
All residents return to your cabins. This is not a drill. This is an emergency situation. The ship is under lockdown and red alert. Please return to your cabins.
A large explosion rocks the ship, and the lights go out. Something lands in the dark next to them. Kalkoris activates the light on his Omni tool.
You turn it on just in time to, like... almost blind of Vorcha, which has its, like, arms wrapped around Jax, and it has, like, a grappling cable that's coming out of the vent. And as it reels back in pain from the light, it hits something on its shoulder, and the grappling cable sucks it back up into the vent.
Cal and Alanabel move to chase after Jax, but Alanabel gets a comm from another guard named Midori, saying that there's fighting in the command quarters. Having to choose between trying to save Jax and trying to save the ship, Alanabel and Kelkoris start to make their way to the Groban 2's command center. They find a hidden shaft that will take them through the levels on the ship. They go up one level and find a firefight in progress.
And you see a team of Batarians and Vorcha attacking the three other guards that came with you that were under your command.
Kalkoris and Alanabel help Midori fight off the Batarians and Vorcha, but one of Alanabel's guards is killed in the firefight. They take a moment to group up with the two guards and move towards the command center, but a large Yogg bursts through the wall and attacks. After a brief battle, the Yogg is defeated. The heroes make their way to the command center of the Groban 2 to find a large hole has been ripped out, and the only thing holding in atmosphere is a docking tube leading from another ship. The characters get a glimpse of Batarians and some hostages as the ship begins powering engines. One of the scientists the characters had met earlier, a dark-skinned human woman named Lintarin, bursts into the command center. She tells Kalkoris and Alanabel that the Batarians have captured her companions. Lintarin also tells them to head down to her room to secure important files while she activates a seal on her armor to protect her from the vacuum of space. Alanabel and Kalkoris and the guards leave the command center just in time, as the enemy ship pulls away. As they head down to the scientist's room, Kalkoris notices a bloody streak leading into Clark Gregg, no relation's room. He investigates to find Clark slumped and wounded. Rolling a critical fumble on first aid, Kalkoris botches his attempt to save him and kills Clark Gregg, no relation.
I'm gonna metagel this Clark Gregg.
Okay, make a first aid check.
I'm gonna save you. This isn't how you die.
Is it possible to screw up first aid so bad that you do damage?
It is.
Damage?
Natural one, you fucking...
Oh, no! Walk me through the last moments that you share with Clark.
I shoved the entire package of Metagel into his wound. I didn't open it, so it's just in there. Several things rupture.
His last words are, Kinda hurts, Doc. And you see the light leave his eyes.
Alanabel searches Lintarin's room and finds an empty file folder, but no files. Alanabel radios Midori to try and send an SOS, but Midori reports from engineering that all communications are being jammed, and that there's something in engineering with her. At that moment, the gravity on the Groban 2 fails. Kel'Koris and Alanabel climb into an elevator shaft to go help Midori, but a pair of Vorcha are waiting for them, and they engage in combat. As they defeat the Vorcha, they receive a comm from engineering that Midori had managed to erect some force fields, but that they are still in danger as power is fading fast. The two make their way to the command center, and Kel'Koris reroutes power through the ship's electronics and restores gravity and strengthens the force fields on the ships. The centers come back online and show that a second ship is approaching, one different than the first ship that attacked. Kel'Koris tries to move the ship in retreat, but burns out the Groban 2's engines. At that moment, Jax enters the room, splashed with blood.
Thank God, I'm so glad to see you guys!
She recounts what happens to her after she was abducted. A Vorcha had stolen her up into the vents of the Groban 2. After a short scuffle, she breaks free and sends the Vorcha scuttling off into the darkness.
Fuck you! Don't come back!
She crawls through the vents until she reaches a pantry area. Jax can hear from an adjacent room that there are some diplomats being harmed. She tries to leave the vents quietly, but makes a large amount of noise as she loses grip on the vent cover and it clangs to the ground. A Batarian from the other room investigates, but doesn't see Jax. She waits until he leaves and drops into the pantry. She then moves to the doorway and sees a group of diplomats being held captive and a group of dead bodies.
And I literally just walk in. I push open the doors and I walk in and I say, hey, what's going on?
She enters combat and, with the support of a couple of the braver diplomats, manages to defeat the Batarians holding the diplomats hostage. They leave the room into a hallway and survey the ship's quarters, but are unable to find any survivors. Each room looks like it's been ransacked, but nothing appears to have been stolen. Only one room has anyone in it, and that's Clark Gregg, no relations room. Clark waves a pistol at Jax in a wild panic and she is unable to lend aid. He warns her that someone is on the ship looking for the files.
Who's here? I mean, yes, there are bad things on the ship, but no time
They're
for
They're here for the files.
What files?
I don't know. They just said the files.
Something in the next room draws Jax's attention, and she leaves Clark Gregg no relation. She leaves the room to see a very unique Batarian.
This Batarian has very, very sleek, super intense, high-tech armor. It's jet black, and it has a red outline of a squid on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's carrying what looks like a big bundle of paper. Which is weird, because in the future, most people use data pads, and stuff's right. only put on paper if it's super important.
Super confidential.
Mm-hmm. And he sees you, and throws a grenade at you, and starts running.
The Batarian makes his escape, while Jax pursues. The gravity goes out as Jax moves to the lower floors of the ship, following. She watches as the Batarian runs down the hall and commands a group of Vorcha to attack. Jax and her two companions defeat the Vorcha, but not nearly in time. As Jax runs to the closing airlock, she sees the debris from the explosion in the command center and gets a good look as the Batarian ships leave.
So there's a big red squid that's been painted on the side of it. It paints over the markings from the Batarian hegemony.
Jax turns and sees that her diplomat friends have been killed in the fight with the Vorcha. She works her way up to the ship's levels and finds Clark Gregg, no relations, dead body. She makes her way further up the levels to find Kel'Koris and Alanabel in the command room.
Thank God, I'm so glad to see you guys!
At that point, Aubrey let me know that she had some time commitments that popped up unexpectedly, and she unfortunately had to leave the show. After reaching the command center, Jax opened fires on Alanabel. Her movements are erratic, and she carries her body in a strange way. Alanabel wrests the gun from Jax as a second Batarian ship collides with the Groban 2. They leave the bridge carrying Jax to find that the two ships are locked and entwined, blocking the way to the escape pods. They venture into the new Batarian ship in the hopes that they can use that ship's escape pods as Jax begins to show some strange symptoms.
And she's starting to emit a weird death rattle.
Oh, calm down! Calm down, we're almost there.
That's not heckin' normal.
Jax attempts to bite Alanabel, who throws her into the Batarian ship. Realizing their only hope of survival lies deeper within, Kel'Koros and Alanabel cautiously enter the ship. Alanabel temporarily loses control of her body as a strange force wrestles with her mind.
And your vision goes black, and you can't move. It sounds as if you are underwater.
Can I breathe?
You can still breathe.
They move deeper into the Batarian ship to find it deserted. Scoping out the perimeter of the bridge in the darkness reveals some disgusting facts.
I point my flashlight into the darkness.
The walls are covered with blood.
See? Why nobody's here.
What's worse is the blood that seems to be flowing up the walls.
Okay, what?
The ceiling of the hallway is covered with a root system of scaly tentacles.
Alanabel starts to hallucinate and sees Kel'Koros as a dangerous monster. She runs down the halls, thinking that they're being chased. Cal shoots Alanabel to break her out of the visions. They find the escape pods, but they're encrusted by the same scaly tentacles they saw in the hallway. As they enter the pod, Jax starts sprinting down the hallway towards them. They eject the pod just in time to see the full picture.
The Batarian ship has terrifying biological growth attached to one side of it. It looks like a weird botanical squid, covered with a strange bark and scales, and its tentacles, massed more than any other squid would normally have, wrap around the side of the Batarian ship. And as the ships twist around in the void of space, it slowly detaches itself from the Batarian ship and pushes away. And it pushes away from the wrecked ships just as the Batarian ship explodes in a bright flash of light.
Clark!
They travel for a week or so before the pod reaches the Citadel. As reporters press against the two, Kel'Koros spies a Blue Suns operative in the crowd eyeing them, then disappearing. They're debriefed by C-Sec and then discharged. Outside of C-Sec, they are attacked and kidnapped.
The one who threw the bag over Alanabel's head sweeps her legs out from under her, and as she falls, he turns to you with a small little injector syringe, and your vision goes black as you collapse into the street. And then you hear a familiar voice. It's the voice of Lintarin, and she says, "All right, boys, get him into the car."
They come to in an empty warehouse to find Lintarin was the one who had kidnapped them. She tells Kel'Koros and Alanabel that if they are asked, they never met her on the Groban 2, and that there were no files aboard the ship.
"But we have to come to an agreement. There were no files. Me and my associates were not on that ship."
"I don't even remember you."
"We just get to walk?"
"Oh, that's true.
That seems to be the deal. But just know that we have eyes."
"Who are you?"
"We're concerned citizens."
"Concerned citizens with fucking heavy-handed..."
"Who just kidnapped two officers. I mean..."
"I'm just a simple dentist."
In exchange for their silence, Lintarin gives each of them a bag full of loot and leaves them alone in the warehouse.
Just look in the bag.
Jump.
80s. Eye contact each other.
Shopping!
Shopping!
Just the, like, high-five air freeze.
They take their swag back to a back alley in the lower wards and inquire about purchasing illegitimate gains. They meet a Cockney Krogan named Gronk, who shares with them a bottle of extremely alcoholic Rinkal, haggles for a while, and sells them some sweet guns. Severely inebriated, Alanabel brings Kel'Koros to C-Sec to get his home address. They go to Kel's apartment and promptly pass out. In the morning, a courier delivers a box to Kel'Koros. He opens the box to find a blue cake congratulating him on surviving the Groban 2. They cut open the cake to find human teeth baked into it, and a note.
So you pull the note out from underneath the cake, and there's a picture of Clark Gregg, and it says, "We know who you are." And there's the symbol of the Blue Suns.
Yeah, oh no.
Uh-oh.
Kel'Koros berates Alanabel, initially thinking it was she who broke Kel's Dr. Richard Corian Voskorian cover. However, after some time, Alanabel was able to convince Cal that she wasn't a snitch. Alanabel's Omnitool cell phone rings, but she does not answer. They take the elevator down to C-Sec to report Cal's blown cover to his fellow operatives in the hope that they'll be able to provide assistance when they hear a news broadcast.
"Following the destruction of the Groban 2, Citadel Security has increased escort protocols for all ships leaving the Citadel. Representatives from CSEC have assured passengers that all traffic is safe and reliable, and that the increased vigilance in this time is a show to all that the safety of Citadel citizens is priority. The two survivors of the Groban 2, one Alana Bell Liren and an unidentified Quarian, were unavailable for comment as of press time.
How did they get my name?
How should I know?
They make it to the CSEC offices and are debriefed by a Turian named Rick. He informs them that he is able to secure their safe transport on a Hanar diplomat's shuttle when Alana Bell's Omnitool phone rings again. Kalkoris picks up the signal to hear a reporter from Alliance News Network named Siddiq Alejandro soliciting an interview about their survival on the Groban 2. Kalkoris flatly refuses, but Alana Bell is enticed by the credits incentive.
You want to go on live television when there's a huge intergalactic gang coming after us?
Yeah, because what are they going to do when I'm on live television?
Kill you? They have never had problems with assassinating people in public before.
On live television?
Nothing stops the Blue Suns from getting their man. Or woman. Or person. Just people in general.
As the interview starts, Kalkoris is hiding in Rick's office, with Rick watching the door. The interview goes without a hitch, but midway through, CSEC loses power momentarily. A frightened Kalkoris engages his tactical cloak and hides underneath a desk as he hears Rick murdered outside the doors. The assailants enter the office and begin a cursory search, but an unidentifiable someone, hidden in the office's vents, takes them down silently. Kalkoris attempts to catch a glimpse of his mysterious saver, but is unsuccessful. Leaving the interview, Alana Bell is approached by a mysterious figure who enters her elevator at the last moment. He informs her that he is from a special branch of the Spectres, run primarily by the Alliance. He hands her a docking pass for a ship set to leave that night. Alana Bell sees the carnage from the attack on CSEC as she returns to Kalkoris, and she races in to give Kel the news about the ship. They rush to the docking bay, board their new ship, and blast off.
The ship powers up, you hear the engines thrum to life, and it slowly and sleekly pulls out of the Citadel and drives up to a mass relay and warps off into the distance. And that's where we're going to call it.
So those are the events leading into Episode 9. Just remember that all the old episodes can still be found at theleviathanfiles.wordpress.com, but this episode is going to be taking their place on the podcast feed. I hope you stick around for the rest of our episodes and that you enjoy the show.
Hey, this is Taylor, GM of the Leviathan Files. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If this was your first one, hopefully you'll join us for a lot more. If you've been with us a while, we're grateful for your support. If you enjoyed the show, please tell your friends. You should also leave us a rating and review for us to read. If you leave us a 5-star review, we might even read it on the show. You can find us on the web at theleviathanfiles.wordpress.com, email us at theleviathanfiles@gmail.com, or find our Twitter at leviathanfiles. Please send your hate mail or any factual corrections to thatsnarkyteenager@gmail.com.